fucking dude! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Yesterday was a big day because after the first official practice with Terry back, they held court. You got to hear from AP, you got to hear from DQ, and of course you got to hear from Terry. I saw the Terry portion. It was about 25 minutes or so. It looked very, very happy. But let's listen to AP and DQ and all these guys. Let's go to the first clip on AP talking about whether or not he was concerned or not, whether or not they'd get a deal done.
I think you always like, at least for me, I think about this could get done tomorrow or this could not get done and linger into the season. But I think throughout the conversations that we had with Terry's agent, Buddy Baker, and then the conversations that I had with Terry, as we got closer and closer, there's a lot more optimism, at least within myself. And it's just, you know, you don't want to get too optimistic or pessimistic, but as we got closer, started feeling pretty good.
Of course, he talked about, and a lot of fans jumped on this, they were excited, where he talked about having the support of his owner, and there's a little caveat to it.
You know, he's got a lot of experience of doing deals like these, not necessarily in the NFL, but in the NBA mostly. And so, it's cool. We get to talk through it, and you know the contracts here are so much different than in the NBA. So he's learning a lot as we go and understanding how these things work. So we keep him in the loop step by step about, you know, our conversations we have with agents and players and what we're going to offer them and what we get offered back and all those things. So he's learning. He's always trying to learn about things. He's really, really smart, but he's always still trying to learn more. And so keeping him in the loop on all that, but we had his full support the whole time, which was really cool. You know, even though he wants to know what's going on, he's backed us the whole way. And, you know, he leaves every decision up to us, which is really cool.
That's an important part, leaving the decisions, you know, to Adam Peters and the football decision makers.
We should at some point go through, I guess, some of the numbers a little bit. You know, initially they reported the deal as whatever it was, 3 years, $96 million. And I think they said that the AAV was something, was it like
32,
whatever. Mm-hmm. Turns out maybe it's a little different. It turns out it's basically like a two-year deal, like a one-year extension plus, you know, this year plus an extension. It's basically $87 million, $44 million guaranteed, can rise to 50 before the 28 campaign. There are reachable incentives on receiving yards, receptions, etc. The average annual salary really comes out to 29, mm-hmm. Which, you know, is kind of the compromise number that we always thought, well, yeah, that's the number you go to, right? If he's asking for 35 and you're offering 25, can't we get into that 29 range, 30 range? And it seems like they did. So a lot of people are praising the Commanders and AP for coming up with a workable deal. It looks like in 2 years we might have to go through all this all over again if Terry continues to ball out.
Apparently that was the same deal that Peters offered like a month ago.
Right, right.
And
right.
He just said, this is the deal. You mm-hmm. can take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm. Right. The old take it or leave it method.
Right, you can play and on what
they
you got.
And then, of course, Taylor and Buddy Baker played hardball to see if they would increase it. They didn't. So that's what it ended up being.
All right, let's hear from Terry. Terry was asked if there was ever a low point or doubt in his mind.
But you're here for a little while and you're not out on the practice field and, you know, things may not progress what you would like for them to progress. And, again, like, I don't think there's – everybody's situation is unique and different. So I never tried to look at this person's situation as like, this is how I handle it. I just tried to stay true to myself, but – also have the open conversations that were afforded to me, both with my agent Buddy. Buddy was having great conversations with Adam. You know, Adam had gave me the opportunity to have multiple conversations with him, DQ as well. So it was just a matter of getting on the same page. I appreciate them hearing me out and being able to express what my worth is and what I bring to this to the table, on the field and off the field as a teammate and all those things. And, you know, in the end, they feel the exact same way. And so to be in a position where you feel like you can advocate for yourself, you know, be educated throughout this process was something that I took day by day to try to help get to this result. So there was definitely some unknowns. Obviously, you know, the trade request was, you know, something that I did. And, you know, full transparency, I told the front office this as well. Like, that wasn't something that I was doing for just like a leverage point or just to do it or let me call some hoopla. Like, I try to be as intentional as possible. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Are there some things that, you know, you think about that you maybe want to handle different or do better? Sure, that's any situation. But the most important part is the communication that was very important throughout this process from start to finish. You know, the way it ended was better than it started.
Yeah.
So that's what you want. He talked about the support of his teammates, specifically Jaden, and how important that was to him, and Jaden always having his back. That seemed very, very important. He also talked about Bobby Wagner and what an influence he is on everyone. And he talked about being a veteran on this team, you know, going into his seventh season. But a guy like Bobby's been there so much longer, won a Super Bowl. Everybody looks up to him, going to the Hall of Fame. And Bobby was a great resource for him. And then they reported that after he signed his deal, he went to go kind of get a workout in, you know, get a lift in, and the guys just went crazy. And
looked
the,
very happy.
Pumped to have him back.
In the, that makes sense. In the weight room.
So. I saw some of the video of him just on the field, Scott Abraham doing a stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
So, good to have him back out there. I mean, we did a segment this week about his body language and whether he, you know, was distraught.
Mm-hmm.
And whether he was talking to the other players, the reports where he only talked to Bobby Wagner. Now all's right in the world. Everything's good to go.
Everybody thought good. He was just hiding behind his hoodie. That was a calculated thing. He's just a hoodie guy. He said even if it's 90 degrees out, he's going to wear a hoodie.
I can relate.
It's very versatile.
I do that every day. Hey, Valdez, let's do one more. Let's just hear from DQ. This is a clip three where he talks about if they actually have enough time to get Terry ready to go for week one.
Yeah, absolutely it is, and it's awesome. I love coaching him. He is a rare competitor, so he'll be out on the field today with his teammates, along with Noah Brown and some others that are on the way back. So that's an important time, John, even though it's not technically game week, just to get some reps together. It's a big deal for us, and, yeah, we're really pumped about it.
All right, so the other big news, obviously, around the league was filling out practice squads,
mm-hmm.
and the Commanders did that, as well as everybody else. I'll just go through the names. First off, jumps right out at it, just Sam Hartman. They brought him back. I don't quite understand it, but everybody seems to like him. I know he's close and tight with Jaden. Maybe he runs the scout team great. Maybe he just needs to heal from his surgery.
He just might be good in the quarterback room, too.
Yeah,
might
just good in the room. Maybe smart. Who knows? I have no idea. Defensive tackle Ricky Barber. Of course, Ja'Cory Brooks, who some people thought had an outside-looking-in shot at making the active roster. Brought him back. He's got some potential. I liked what I saw when I saw Lawrence Cager out there make a few plays. He's a big tight end. Did you see him?
Yes.
He made a few plays. He jumped out at me. Sheldon Day, I thought, he will play. Sheldon Day will play on Sundays at some point. Because he makes an impact when he's out there.
He filled in at times last year.
Yep. Michael Dieter, they brought him back, center. Cornerback Antonio Hamilton Sr., Jalen Holmes, the defensive end, Ja'Cory Jones, the wide receiver. They also brought back Chris Moore.
I was surprised by that.
Oh, yeah, the guy kept dropping balls, but they seemed to really like him.
There were some decent receivers available after cuts, and I was surprised that they didn't maybe jump out and grab one of those guys, and they kept Chris Moore. It was just kind of surprised me.
Yeah, well,
who
were
the top few that were cut and available?
Like Valdez Scantling was out there. He got snapped up really quick. There was a couple other guys.
Nobody picked up Renfro?
I didn't see his name.
Yeah. Carlin Vigors was brought back. Timothy McKay, Rob McDaniel, and I'm sorry, I have a hard time saying this, defensive end TJ Magarongia. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but I'm trying my best.
I just call him TJ Mag.
They also signed, I think a little earlier, they signed Donovan Edwards, who
saw that
you
running
know
back,
him
right?
from Michigan, and he went undrafted. The Jets signed him, and I believe he like led them in rushing in the preseason. But they released him. They're probably going to stash him. Maybe we gave him a little bit more, and they've got him on the practice squad. So kind of like that one, to be honest with you.
Add a little depth.
Yeah. All right, let's go real quick. Let's go to Josh in D.C. Josh, what's up, man? You're all with the Junkies.
Hey, Josh.
Good morning, guys. I appreciate you guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah.
What's up?
You know, I'm that crazy guy who called in a couple weeks ago.
All right.
And, you know, had a debate with you guys. And I said, if I'm Terry, basically, if I'm guaranteed $20 million, and what I should have clarified was the median for a number one receiver is going to be around $24 million. Then I'm guaranteed $44 million in my first 2 years. And I said, that's his floor, meaning I'm not signing less for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's essentially what he did, right?
Yeah.
That's what he did.
And yeah. he could probably get.
So are you calling in? You want your flowers or something?
Yeah, you want.
No, I wanted to thank you guys for letting me give my logical take. You know, I'm not a genius. I'm not a predictor or nothing. Right. That was just my logic of the situation.
Right. What do you think is going to happen? Well. I know you say you're not a predictor, but I'm curious, what do you think is going to happen this season? What's your record prediction?
Well, if y'all remember, you know, I'm the guy talking about all that fluff money. When I looked at what Albert Breer published, as the incentives, mm-hmm. those are reachable incentives, man. Mm-hmm. 83 catches, 1,097 yards. That mm-hmm. can bump up to 600,000.
Yep.
With the playoffs, man, he can get an extra $3 million almost if he does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah.
11 tutties, 1,100 yards. He's motivated, man. And I wanted to say to Valdez, you know, we argued a little bit at the end of my little take, and I said that third year. I doubled down and said that third year they're going to rip it up. And when we look at the contract, the third year is $23 million fluff money. The fourth year is $25 million fluff money. Mm-hmm. It's not guaranteed.
Nope.
You didn't answer my question. What is your record prediction? What's your vibe heading into the season?
I apologize. I thought you meant as far as his stats individually. For the season, we got to get 11 wins.
That'd be strong.
We 11-6 is pretty strong against that schedule.
I'm going to be happy.
Yep.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it. Appreciate you, buddy.
Guys, keep it up, man. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you, buddy. I'll tell you what else is interesting, Cakes. You know, as they released some guys and, you know, they traded Brian Robinson and Cleveland Farrell was released, some numbers opened up. So some guys are going to be wearing different numbers than they did in the preseason and last year. Marcus Mariota.
I saw that he's changing his number.
He's back to number 8.
Okay.
So initially, he chose 0, I guess, last year, but then he gave that number to Sanistrel. Then he wore 18. Now he's back to the number he wore when he was at Oregon mm-hmm. and in all but 2 of his 10 NFL seasons.
Okay.
Of course, 8 became available when they traded Brian Robinson. I told you, it's just all preseason, I was thrown by seeing 52 on Kinlaw. That just threw me. Mm-hmm. Well, he's ditched that, and he's now taken Farrell's 99.
That's a better defensive tackle number.
That's going to look better on him.
Yes.
He's a big dude. Mm-hmm. He deserves 99.
52 is too small of a number.
It's a linebacker.
That's a linebacker number. Yeah. Or a center.
Mm-hmm. Colson Yankoff, he's moving up in the world, Cakes. He gets to wear number 80.
Oh, good.
Which I think
a solid number.
It's a great tight end number, right?
Yeah.
That's going to look great on him.
Are we
going to
see him much on the field, though?
Last year he
as
wore
the number
41.
Four tight end.
A special teams. A special you'll see
team. He's a teams That's guy. Where he's a big teams guy, and he showed a little bit, you know, as a tight end. So you just never know, especially with injury and having an older guy like Zach Ertz.
Did Cole Turner get picked up?
Not that I'm aware of. I was hoping maybe they would sign him to the practice squad, but we'll see. George Fant, he gets assigned 77, and then Tyler Owens, Cakes, he wears Mariota's old 18.
I used to be good at players' numbers. I've gotten woefully bad at it over the last few years. There are numbers I need to learn, though. Like, what is Bill's number? I don't know.
32.
He's a 32?
Mm-hmm. That's a great number.
32 is a great running back number.
Great running back number,
fantastic.
Right?
What is Chris Rodriguez's number?
36? 35? Hold on.
Dude, I don't know.
I need to learn these numbers.
I don't have it in
36.
Front of me.
Okay, he's 36.
Yep. Who else do you want to know?
Eckler's number?
30.
Okay. Yeah. I thought I knew.
He's been 30 for.
Yeah, he's worn that
pretty
for
much
a while.
Forever.
Need to bone up on my numbers, EB.
Yeah.
What's Vaughn's number?
Oh, he's
24. All right.
Oh, that's right. I was goofing on it. Then I realized
right,
he did it like to honor a teammate that either like I think got paralyzed in the game. So then I backed off on my goofing on him wearing a cornerback number.
And of course,
I didn't know the backstory.
Last but not least, as they kind of look at the roster composition, and we talked about this yesterday, the average age of the Commanders is the oldest in the league, while the Packers are the youngest team in the league for the third consecutive season.
I saw a different way to look at it because we've made the argument, well, they've got Josh Johnson and that boosts up the age. And the statistics were, I believe, of players who were 29 or older, and they had the most by 8 or 9 players. Wasn't even close.
Well, they've got Von Miller's 36. They've got Bobby Wagner, who's really only 35, but I feel like he's like 50. Zach Ertz, who's 34. Laremy Tunsil, who's already 31. Eckler's 30. Terry's about to be 30. So, yeah.
Debo's 29.
Yep, they're up there in years.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. He's an NFL legend wearing a dope Terps hat this morning.
Woo!
Brian Mitchell. What up, B?
I'm good, brother. What's happening? This Terp hat gave me some luck.
Played well yesterday?
Let me just say, I was down two down after two holes. And then I won the next six. So I was up 5-3-3.
On who, Leon?
Yeah.
Just beating the brakes off him.
Yeah, then he had emergency he had to leave for. I just let him off the bet yesterday.
Well, if he got an emergency and he can't press his way out of the hole.
He can't press your way out of that. You're down 5-3-3. You already dormy. Me.
Aloha, dude.
On three of them.
You got to go aloha in that situation.
You got to go aloha nothing, a low hand.
You got to take the aloha if you offer.
No,
double,
I don't.
Double or nothing, everything.
No, I don't play them games. You can't get skull drug and then just going to get jumped out of it with a lucky hole. Nah, I ain't letting that happen.
You can't turn down an aloha, B.
Hey, I probably wouldn't have. You know why?
Because
I was working, baby.
He might not have.
Hey, when I can't miss the short grass, you could go aloha. You could go francais. You could do whatever you want to do. You could go wee wee. I don't care. Let's go for it.
All right. A lot of people have wanted to know when we get to hear from various people. So here's the schedule, folks. Adam Peters and Dan Quinn are going to talk at 3:45 today.
All right.
We're going to be in the media tent in Ashburn. Practice is at 4:15. I don't know. I think we're now back to normal practice times where we don't get to watch. Like, I think we're going to watch stretching and individuals, and then they're going to kick us out. Like, this is no longer training.
You don't have to think. That's what you know. This is regular season now. You don't get a chance to do it because as much as they didn't mind you giving them a lot of promotional aspects of it, now you know there's somebody that's going to be gung-ho in the media that would show the wrong thing. They ain't letting it happen.
Now, we thought we were going to talk to Terry McLaurin today. Seems like that may be moving. So stay tuned. I don't think people realize when you are working in pro football, when you are a media member working in pro football, life is TBD, baby. Things change.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, one thing, like, I've learned this over the years working with pro athletes. The reality is if, like, I used to, whenever I thought I had an interview locked in, I wouldn't tell my bosses about the interview until it was done.
Okay.
Because it's like, you never know what's going to happen, man. I remember at various times for various players having to wait around hours. So we're going to talk to Terry when we talk to Terry. Maybe that'll be this afternoon. Maybe it won't.
Maybe not.
I do expect him to be a full participant in practice.
Yeah, yeah.
We did get some details on the Terry McLaurin contract. I know a lot of folks were kind of waiting on it.
Wow.
The terms come in what I expected. And I think people that were reacting to the initial offer were overreacting. Rappaport had him this morning. The actual extension averages out to $29 million a year. If you listen to our program, we told you it wasn't going to get to 30. The fully guaranteed money at signing is $44 million, which jumps to $50 million in April of 2027. So if you start to look at these things, like as the contract got later, I told you there'd be less guaranteed money, and we're arriving at that landing point. The reality here was Washington made an offer, maybe inched it up a hair. This offer has been there, and I think, you know, Terry's side got to the finish line where it's like, all right, we got to get ready to play now. And they signed it. And Terry's just got a ton of cash into his bank account, mm-hmm. and there's a lot more cash to come.
Yep.
And, you know, I
that's all that matters. I mean, the amount of money, like, this is the money that's going to go into the account by the end of next year. The 30 is in there now. 27 plus being in again. That all money was moved up quicker than it would have been. So they're going to be the people trying to say, oh, he didn't win it. Who cares? Both of them won. You got a guy for an extension that's going to be relatively team friendly, and he got an extension and got more money in his account than he was going to get. So both people who came out on top.
That's
all that matters.
Right. And like, I know that there are a lot of folks that are really caught up in the numbers. We did, when I was on Channel 4 the other day, you know, like we do our B. Mitchell Finley AAA poll of the day. They do a poll, like it updates throughout the newscast.
Uh-huh.
And the question was, this is when Terry signed on Monday. The question was, you know, how do you feel about the Terry McLaurin contract? And the options were like, say it was ecstatic, happy. One of the options was overpaid, and a bunch of people were saying overpaid. And I don't know that I'm supposed to do this at Channel 4, but I started yelling. And I was like, you don't know what the real numbers are. He's not being overpaid. Like, the initial offer is never the real number.
Even if the numbers were exactly 32 a year, he's not overpaid.
Right.
I mean, I don't understand those people who think they have the damn right to say someone is overpaid. Hell, the people that said he's overpaid, they're probably overpaid in their damn job. Let's be true.
Right.
I mean, half the people that have jobs that like to talk about athletes and their money, you're not very good at your own damn job. Let's stop it. Please.
Well, I also think it's like, I understand if people were concerned about what the money could have been 3 years from now if Terry's 33. But you also got to keep in mind, the cap will be significantly higher in 3 years.
The cap will be significantly higher.
Like, they're making $1 billion from YouTube now. Like, all that revenue gets shared.
Bro, my thing is, if he comes out this year, balls, comes out next year, balls, I know what everybody, no one is going to say his age if he's balling, right? No one. So my hope is that, when I find out that people are not necessarily fans, they're antagonists. That's all they are. So I hope this dude comes out and ball like he did last year, this year. And I hope the same thing happened next year. And I hope that he's still balling when he come up on that third year. And you know what they say? Oh, let us give you another extension. It's going to be a smaller salary, but we're going to give you some money up front right now. It's both team-friendly and player-friendly, right?
Yep.
That's what I hope. That's a fan. So all these people that try to sit up here and tell me, I'm the biggest fan, I'm a true fan. No, you're not. You just want to be able to say what the hell you want to say. I don't want nobody to tell you something about it. But I have a problem with it, and I'm going to tell everybody about it. I don't care if you on this side of the mic or the other side of the mic. If you say dumbass stuff, I'm going to tell you something about it.
There you have it. They got the roster down to 53 on the active yesterday. The practice squad will get finalized at 1 o'clock today, I believe is the time. There's a Nats game today, so you'll be listening to Nats radio. But I have some thoughts just about the initial roster cuts. Not a lot. The big news was made last week when they traded Brian Robinson to San Fran. Like, that was the only real surprise to me of this offseason. And that became a lot less surprising when it became relatively obvious it was happening, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It became obvious. Standing kind of reported it early, said it was a possibility, and then you started to like hear different things when they didn't play him Monday night against the Bengals. I think I tweeted out, he's not playing means he's not staying. Like, that was when things were done.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we find out he didn't come to the game, and then he wasn't at subsequent practices. That was like your big surprise of this training camp season. Terry, frankly, did exactly what I expected. I got a picture of it. Sean Yancey, who you know, Sean's mm-hmm. the best. This was like 3 weeks ago. I was doing Channel 4, and she asked us on air to make a prediction when Terry would sign. And Onyang, God love her, predicted like July 10th. Like, she just wanted it done.
She wanted it done. She doesn't care.
My guess was August 24th. Mm-hmm. Terry signed August 25th. So that was really my – what happened with Terry is what I expected.
Yeah.
And kind of what I was told throughout the process, this is going to get done. The numbers you hear are crazy. Don't listen to them. It'll get to the finish line, and it'll be team-friendly and Terry-friendly, and everybody can move forward. So
that's the old saying, shoot for the moon, and even if you miss, you end up among the stars. You always ask for more than you're willing to settle for. So this is where I have a problem with most people. When a guy normally asks for something and he end up getting a deal, and it's normally less than what you asked for. Normally it is. That's normally right where you wanted to be or where you thought you would be. If you have very, very smart people around it, they always ask for astronomical things, knowing that you're going to come somewhere. There's a asking point, an offering point, and a settling point. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So if you go for if I was like playing ball today and I want 10, I'm asking for 15, maybe 16 and a half. They may come in and say 8. If we end up getting that 10, I'm satisfied. The rest of the people could say what the hell they want to say, because you don't even know what my honeypot was. You get what I'm saying? Let's go to the honeypot now.
You love the honeypot.
Okay. So if I have a number that will satisfy me and my family, I don't care what you say and think. And the problem is, I understand, listen, man, fans, you all make this thing go. But you know what? You don't have control over everything. You want respect? Give respect to the same people that you want respect from, and this thing will work out better. But you get fan and media people who want to sit up here and say what you want, and then when you want something done, you want them to bow down to you and give you everything you want. To hell with that. I've been dealing with this a long time. I did media while I played, and I knew how to deal with people. And you know what I do a lot when I talk to players individually? I let them know who the asses are on this side of the mic, on this side of the job. So be careful with them and watch them.
Yeah, I mean, players know also.
Well, they know, but you can help them out a lot too. So. Right. That I have said, my job is to help educate fans and players, and I damn sure try.
I want to get into roster, just my thoughts on the roster, and I'm curious yours as well. But I before we get to that, obviously, really sad news yesterday. Yes. Rick Snyder passed away. Rick is a guy that had covered.
I was playing.
Yeah. I mean, when did you first meet Rick?
Well, it was way back, man. You know, I'll see Rick all the time. And the thing of it is, like, let's see, people have their way, whether it's good or bad. But the one thing I love about Rick, he was consistent in what he was. He didn't go wishy-washy and change up for folks. So you have to respect that. You know, we talked to the coach yesterday about Pete Mayhurst. Yep. Same way. But when you listen, bro, I don't have to agree with everything a person does, but I can highly respect the hell out of somebody. And I think that's how I was with both of those guys, where they stuck by who they were. So you get to know who they are, and you judge a person based off of what they consistently are. People that are one person one day and another person the next day, to hell with you. I don't give a damn about you.
Rick was always himself. I shared many a sideline, many a press box. When I was, you know, new covering the team, he was cool and kind. You know, I remember as a kid, it's funny, I'm going back through my DMs with Rick now. look, I might get emotional here.
Hey, man, let it flow.
When we announced,
that's when you know your man, let it fly.
When we announced we were starting the radio show, B, he sent me a note. He said, congrats, JP. Don't let Brian push you around. He's really a softy. When you need a guest to say Brian should be in the Hall of Fame, I'm around.
Rick, why was Rick trying to put my business out there? See, you and Rick the same people putting my business out there. I'm not a softie.
Yeah,
I respect people until I'm disrespected.
gosh, May 15th, 2020.
Man, that's a long time.
He sent me a note. Congrats on the Emmy. You do good work. Old newspaper man in you. Once upon a time, I was a writer. You know, Gosh, this is I shouldn't have pulled this up on the air.
Oh, we need to see this side of you.
You know, Rick was very kind, and he didn't always have to be. I remember as a kid, you know, this really was, especially for football coverage, a two newspaper town. And the Post was always the lead dog, but the Times football coverage was excellent. And, you know, Rick drove that coverage. It was him and Elfin for a long time, and then Rick was a columnist. You know, gosh, now I'm getting back to when Tandler passed. Good God here. I think, you know, what Tandler would tell you is Snyder gave him a chance. Rich Tandler was like an uncredentialed media member. Hmm. He was kind of just a fan with a blog and then was able to break through. Was able to break through because I believe, if I have my facts right, Snyder got him credentialed for this Warpath magazine that he used to run.
Okay.
And it was, you know, he was, there's a lot of gatekeeping in media. And it's like I always say, the NFL is a self-preservation league, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guys want to stay in the league as much as they can.
Media is too.
Media is the same. There's a lot of gatekeeping. And and one thing I've never tried to do in my career is be a gatekeeper. Like, if people have opinions and you value them, like, interact. Like, I was a blogger. I was a podcaster. Like, my path wasn't necessarily traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people that were cool with that, and there were people that pushed back along the way. That certainly happened, too.
Rick, hey, you know, I dealt with that.
Rick
people
was
got old. Mad at me. Rick, I was in the media longer than them. I've been in the media longer than most guys have been living, and they have the nerve to try and tell me, well, you were a player. Yeah, but I've been doing this longer than your ass been living. You need to learn something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't just play. I played, but I was able to jump to this side and been doing this since 1992. It's a long damn time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the thing of it is, when you see someone coming along with a certain level of talent, you offer your wisdom. You offer information. You offer ideas. You offer your help. If they just poo-poo it, then let them go and learn how to swim on their own. But those that seem to offer the help and you listen to them, listen, guys aren't trying to help you just for the hell of it. They telling you what works and what doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of younger people think they invented the damn wheel. You ain't invent no wheel, dude.
April 14th, 2017. JP, sorry to hear of your father's passing. My dad died in 1989, and still hardly a day goes by that I don't think about him. He thought football was dumb. We watched one Redskins game together on TV, Super Bowl VII loss. But a couple years ago, I was driving home after finally being cleared from skin cancer and found myself singing my dad's favorite country song that I hated. Suddenly realized dad came by to make sure I was okay. So they're still with us, and I hope you have good memories of him. Saying the same thing about you now, Rick. Safe home, man.
Terry McLaurin. 3 years, $96 million is what has been announced to this point. We're awaiting the actual details in this contract. But the story is, he has been signed. This is all over. He's going to be on the field against the Giants. I think he's going to be on a snap count. I know there are people that are suggesting maybe he won't be. That he's got 2 weeks, that he'll probably be able to ramp up to speed and go out and play just as much as he would have. That would be amazing if that's the case, and that would be a huge deal. Then I really do believe that, you know, this was, while a pain in the butt and problematic, you know, not nearly as significant a blow as we all assume. He just goes out there and plays 87% of offensive snaps,
be amazed.
And catches six balls for 89 yards or something. He's just Terry McLaurin. Okay. No harm, no foul. Good for you. You got some money, and you're forgiven. I got this text from my buddy. I think this is the perfect answer to our question. So we're asking people, Do you hold any kind of a grudge? Does your feelings at all toward Terry McLaurin change based on all of the last several weeks, or is it forgiven already? He says, this is a big Commanders fan, has been a season ticket in the a holder in the past. He goes, if our offense looks like S against the Giants, I'll give him some blame. Or if he gets a nagging injury, I'm going to be furious. He says, if they score 30 in a win in week one and they start fast in the first couple of weeks, I'll get over it. The holdout was very annoying, though. Felt incredibly selfish.
Did I send you that? Because that's my view.
Danny Ruiz.
That's it, exactly. Now, because my prediction is they're going to start slow. My prediction is he will start slow. And that was my gripe, not him trying to get more money.
If neither happens, though, then what?
Then I'll go, I was wrong. Hold out more, I guess. If you're ready to go and without the things that you need to play football, that's the impression that I'm under, is we missed the moment where he needed to already be at practice and practicing for this year. The business of football this year was happening and he was not part of it, which means he was standing in the way, which means he was the cloud over everything. I'm not talking about the contract stuff. That was a separate detail. To me, if the things that I'm worried about come to pass, again, offense is sluggish, he's sluggish, soft tissue injury or whatever, I'll just be standing there going, yeah, this is the thing I was afraid of, and I will hold it against you. Now, that's not I hate that, boom. I'm not doing anything like that. That's not the case. Way too many good deposits in the bank, way too many good memories, way too many good moments, way too good of a dude. My point all along was, I didn't think that you would do this. Not that you wouldn't try to get more money. Of course, that's reasonable. We should all try to do that. I'm talking about put the business of the current team, the current contract that you're under, second. I didn't think he was the kind of person that would do that. There are a lot of players that have done that. I didn't think that was the camp he was in. So all I did was I moved him from the perfect little angel camp to the, oh, maybe, you know, not total diva wide receiver head case jerk, but sliding down the spectrum a little bit towards that.
Yeah, but if you're angriest, it was worse than that, right? I mean, the day you're screaming about him not being at the preseason game.
Yeah, because that to me is indefensible. And I still believe that.
Yeah.
That is not something that I will ever think is the right call.
Football coverage on The Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL. CBS Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS or Paramount Plus all season long. ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's hit the phones, 800-636-1067. This is not one that I can answer. This is something I want to touch the people on. Does your feelings about McLaurin change at all? Do you have any different feel about the person, the player, than you did before all of this started? I'll answer and say no, the fan part of me. Not for me. We saw how the sausage got made. It was ugly. And frankly, I think he was more aggressive in the holdout based on what he was being told from his agent than most guys would or probably need to be. But if it works, it works. And if the contract ends up being player friendly here, then that's his goal. He got what he wanted. But let's see what you guys think. Let's go to Disco and Laurel on The Fan. What's up, Disco?
Hey, good afternoon. Grant, shout out to you, bro, on the 50. You got the you up on it, brother.
Hey, he was my guy.
Hey, man. Yeah, man. Hey, so let me say that it doesn't bother me one bit. I'm going to tell you why. Look, it's a business. If the team can take a hard stance, so can the player. It doesn't mean that he deserves what he's asking. But now, had this bled over into week one, I would have had a totally, totally different take on it. But I want to – you said this is the first time that this has maybe happened to people to come through these doors. Although it's not the same, Trent Williams a little bit, guys, because he said he wasn't going to play for the team anymore. Wasn't about money, but in fact it was. He actually sat out. Wasn't it a whole season? He sat out a while, and ultimately he wanted more money. So not quite the same, but a little bit shades of Trent Williams. But no, hasn't changed my opinion of Terry one bit. He had to do what he had to do.
Appreciate you, Disco. So the only question I would have is when you say, and it's a good call, bleeds into week one. I think that's the essential part of it for everybody in this kind of conversation. What I mean is, for me, bleeds into week one means what you and I both think. He won't be full Terry McLaurin. He's not playing 67 snaps.
See, that's where we've always disagreed.
And that's where we disagree, and yeah. That's kind of my point. To me, the bleeding has already happened. We have bled. He has now cost himself the ability to start and be Terry McLaurin. Now, long term...
You don't know that, though. That's kind of always been my argument.
Of course
I don't. In fact, I said, not that I know either, and I don't know any better, but just as a point of order, like my point was, if he comes back on August 25th and he has 13 days, that's plenty of time to essentially be Terry McLaurin at the start of the year. So that's the line in the sand I drew. You happened to draw yours a couple weeks earlier. And so you flew off the handle and got angry. That would have been me today. I would have done the right. Danny Rie rant today.
No, we could both be wrong. He could need an hour and a half. He could need one pregame warm-up and be great. I'm just going off with really smart people that, A, played the position, Kadri Ismail, Dan Orlovsky today. Just, you know, common sense to me would indicate you probably need to practice some football at some point.
Totally.
You know, in the harshest settings.
At some point, could be 2 weeks.
Yes, and it could be. And it could be fine. So, but if we both think he's on a pitch count, doesn't that pitch count mean that he's not himself? Like, I'm talking about the 100% full version of him.
Yes, but
that's not reachable now, right?
Yes, I think that it is very possible. You are way more certain that he will not be himself than I am. I think there's a possibility he will not be himself. I'm not dealing with the same amount of confidence in that you are. But regardless, what I cared about was his availability to start the season.
Makes sense.
If he wasn't there, I'm Team Disco on this, what he basically just said. If he was not around to start the year, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? Get your ass to the facility and be a professional. I cannot believe you've stooped to this level. You kind of got there when he didn't show up for the preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have really been to that extreme level until week one of the regular season. And your point is, he's already affected week one. A, I don't really think that coming back 2 weeks before, but B, affecting the definition, you're saying that you may not play the same number of snaps, or you might tire a little more, or you might have a slightly bigger chance of pulling a groin or whatever. I'm saying affecting week one by definition was not being there on week one.
Right. I think that's the distinction. So if you're closer to my camp, you're going, yeah, I'm annoyed. And if you're like, no, dude, he's under contract and on the roster, then you're not.
The Trent Williams thing, I actually had not thought about that once, so I'm glad he brought it up. It's actually, you know, he said this. It's not the same in any way. Trent, the season he missed was injury-related and cancer scare-related and all the other things that were going on with him. That was not a holdout. Like, he was not being fined for missing games every step of the way. It was kind of a completely different deal. But in the sense that he said he was never going to play for the team again, yeah, there was certainly drama with Trent Williams. There's no doubt about that. By the way, you know what we haven't mentioned today at all? And it just means that we haven't done a thorough conversation about this. We still don't know what McLaurin's ankle situation is. I mean, is he even going to be available for week one?
I hope that's the first question of Dan Quinn.
We probably have to make sure that Terry McLaurin's ankle is okay. Because what happens if he's unavailable to start the season? He's got an ankle injury.
He has an ankle. I mean, he was cleared from PUP. Right? So he's not on PUP.
He's not on PUP.
He's on the return to play protocol, I think.
A pretty serious ankle injury.
Yeah.
It's kept him out for weeks.
Weeks.
We probably should have mentioned that earlier in the show.
Return to play.
Let's go to Edwin in Silver Spring on Grant and Danny. What's up, Edwin?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I feel that I don't feel any differently about – I'll say who I feel – that I don't feel differently about Terry, but I feel differently about Peters. I'll say why. As for Terry – he did everything by the book, pretty much. That's the only reason you'd be upset with him is that he actually stood up for himself.
Well, I will say really quickly, I'm gonna let you finish Kanye style. They're not showing up for the preseason's not by the book. Trey Hendrickson was there. Micah Parsons was there. No showing a game. Now, the team may have told him they don't want him there because of the Monday Night Football cameras. I don't know. But the Bengals certainly didn't do that to Trey Hendrickson, who was even angrier. So that's not really by the book. That was kind of above and beyond.
Okay. I'll say it was by the book just because they were refusing flat out to negotiate or do anything. And he has to do what he has to do in order to arrive here. But, okay, we can disagree on that. I do feel differently about Peters because with his extensive 1 year as a GM in the NFL, he seems to have all this benefit of the doubt, all this trust. We hear people saying, Adam Peters, we trust. Adam Peters, we trust. And I'm wondering why. First of all, we have several draft picks that he's made who are right here on the team. We're still wondering if they'll come good or if they're just bust, mainly in Ben Sinnott and McCaffrey. He had this thing with Terry draw all this time where he could have been in training camp. He could have practiced. They refused to negotiate. So he affected the chemistry of things in training camp towards the season. Then he's made trades also that are kind of questionable. With the Lattimore trade, he traded a third-round pick. The guy didn't do anything last year. He looked washed. This year, we're wondering if, and this is a player who's had a history of many injuries. So I feel that this is probably the first big event that many fans will now put him under the microscope and say, we've just thrown a benefit of the doubt towards him. Let's actually see what this guy is doing.
Because, yeah, that would be another good way to ask the question.
Yeah,
it's like, do you feel any differently about Adam Peters moving forward? Do you hold any, ill will might be too strong, but Do you hold any kind
of
grudge?
Like, you okay with all this?
Yeah, about how he handled this. I would point out he's been the GM for 1 year. They won 12 games, which they hadn't done since 1991, and an NFC championship game. Now, most people will say, well, yeah, Jaden Daniels, which is the answer key. He drafted him, and he didn't have to. He could have taken Drake May. He could have taken Bo Nix. He could have done something else, right? Mm-hmm. So he gets credit for that, if that's the point. But I actually think that that's probably fair. Like, the best thing in the world that ever happened to Adam Peters, because it can make up for 15 mistakes, is you drafted Daniels. Same for Dan Quinn and the coaching staff.
Sure.
They're walking around like they're headed to the Hall of Fame. You know, what if you drafted Michael right. Penix right there? It could be a different conversation.
Totally. A lot of their one-year deals worked pretty damn well, I would say. There's some other feathers in his cap, too. But the only thing I would take issue with out of the column was a good one, is the definitive, the team refused to negotiate. Now, I saw that. I know the report, too, the 45-minute press conference at Eastern Motors, where your job's your credit, where he said they haven't called me. Do we know that the agent was begging and pleading for them to come to the table and please come up, we'll come down? I mean, my point is there's so much we don't know about this dialogue that to say, this is Peters, he refused to budge. Looked like some budging happened at some point from somebody.
When nobody's giving you any information and the team wasn't really giving anybody information, all you can do is go off of the report.
Sure.
And the reports were on both sides that you heard a Schefter say a million times, including an hour before the news broke today.
Yeah, which is
what's
so
that
funny.
Worth? What's that worth? That neither side was budging, that they weren't really coming closer together. So that's what he's basing his opinion on, which I don't think is wrong to do. Now, we don't know if it's right or not, but that's all we have is the reports. Same thing we were basing the money guesses on the entire time, which I think was the only thing we could do if nobody's willing to. You can't not give us information and be mad that we're wrong.
Right.
You don't get to do both of those two things if you're the team or the player or the agent or whatever. But yeah, I always say this about GMs. It's a batting average business. Like, every GM's going to miss a lot of draft picks, going to miss a lot of free agent signings. You're trying to bat 600 to be an elite Hall of Fame type GM, basically. And he certainly did that last year in his only year getting a crack at this thing as a well-regarded superstar in the making, according to a lot of people I talked to, before he got the shot. But if your point is, hey, he wasn't perfect, well, okay, you're not going to be in that job. And yeah, let's wait and see. But we could ask that question if he wants us to.
Yesterday was a nice reminder, a humbling reminder, that while a lot of us think that we know a lot of things, myself included, we really don't know much about what goes on behind closed doors in Ashburn. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on a Thursday. Booger McFarland, ESPN, is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Get his thoughts on the Commanders, plus a little bit of college football coming up this weekend as well, that we will get his thoughts on. I was listening to both press conferences that took place yesterday. You had Dan Quinn and Adam Peters, and then Terry McLaurin after practice. You will hear a significant amount of both of those throughout the course of today's show. Dan Quinn will speak at noon. You'll hear that as well. But I was listening to these press conferences. There was a whole lot that was going on that we had no knowledge of. It felt like, now more than ever through this entire process, especially towards the end of the process, we were starting to get more and more information that felt like we kind of understood the direction that the sides were going. And look, I knew ultimately a deal was going to get done in some way, shape, or form. I think most of you probably felt the same way. A deal with Terry and the Commanders was going to get done in some way, shape, or form. But it really felt like that Adam Peters was in control of this entire thing, Max. And as much as we kind of ragged on Terry's agent, Buddy Baker, maybe he was not out of his depth as much as we thought he was out of his depth. This is just the process that seems to take place when you are negotiating a big contract with a big-time player. Now, maybe there was some lying yesterday. In fact, I would go so far as to say there was definitely a little bit of stretching of the truth in some capacity, particularly with something Terry said about his ankle, which you will hear. That might have been one of my favorite moments of the press conference.
I laughed out loud when Ben asked that question.
I mean, shout out to Ben Standing. It was a great question. You know what? Why, I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm going to be a great journalist here, Max. People call me a journalist. I'm not a journalist, but I'm going to be a great journalist here. Ben asked Terry McLaurin about his ankle situation as Terry is in his ramp up to get ready for the season. Listen to what Terry said about the ankle injury that has been keeping him on the physically unable to perform list for this entire offseason.
Yeah, I'll just keep that between me and the front office and the training staff. But I will say, like, they did a great job of taking care of me, making sure I was right, you know, being back on this field with this ramp-up process. And, you know, I'm just going to continue to build from there and just happy to be back on the grass. So it was a great ramp-up process for me to be back out here. I feel great when I'm running out there. And so the strength staff, the training staff, and, you know, DQ and everybody was supportive of me and allowed me to get back, you know, to this level where I'm able to hit the ground running. That's what it's all about.
There's a great order that he put these things in.
I mean, look, man, I've never had an $87 million Band-Aid, but I bet there's not a lot of injuries that I could sustain or that wouldn't heal me. So yeah. I get where he's coming from, man. Most of the Band-Aids that I buy are like $4, and you get 20 for $4. Or now in this economy, it's like $7, and you get 20 or 50. An $87 million Band-Aid that could potentially be worth $96 million over the course of 3 years would definitely make that ankle feeling real good. The ligaments would be great. They'd be loose. They'd
best
be able to flex.
Felt.
I'd be able to run really fast. I promise you that. I like that he was at least, he didn't hide it. He tried to like kind of step it, dodge it. He should have just said he rolled it doing something. You know, the thing in this entire process that I think Terry really could have taken a little bit more advantage of, he was actually here at one point. You know, during the offseason, I know he skipped the mandatory stuff and he skipped some of the non-mandatory stuff, but only some of the non-mandatory stuff. Like, there very much was a part, and the team posted a picture of it all the way back in, like, I don't know if it was March or April or something, but he was catching passes from Jane Daniels. I remember there was this big smile on his face. I think he had like a bucket hat on or something. So like, he very much was here. I would have leaned a little bit more into that to be like, you know, I was just aggravated doing some stuff. You know, hey, one of the reasons I wasn't here for the mandatory stuff was because I actually, you know, did have the ankle situation. Like, I would have really pressed hard instead of the, I'm going to keep that between me and the front office. As in, like, no, you were actually on the physically unable to perform list. They did say that you had some sort of injuries. So I think Terry should have done just a little bit of a better job there. He was honest, though. You know, in most other cases, and he did mention something about the trade request, which was unprompted. You know, he got asked a lot of questions. Nobody specifically asked him about the trade request, but he did mention the trade request. So this is Terry. He was asked about something different, and then it led to him speaking of the trade request and kind of how that came to be and how it was real.
I think it's clip six. I'm not 100%
sure. I think it's clip six. So give me clip six.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when you get to a point where you're here for a little over, I kind of lost track of the days, but you're here for a little while and you're not out on the practice field and, you know, things may not progress what you would like for them to progress. And again, like, I don't think there's everybody's situation is unique and different, so I never tried to look at this person's situation as like, this is how I handle it. I just tried to stay true to myself, but also have the open conversations that were afforded to me, both with my agent buddy was having great conversations with Adam. You know, Adam had gave me the opportunity to have multiple conversations with him, DQ as well. So it was just a matter of getting on the same page. I appreciate them hearing me out and being able to express what my worth is and what I bring to this to the table, on the field and off the field as a teammate and all those things. And you know, in the end, they feel the exact same way. And so to be in a position where you feel like you can advocate for yourself, you know, be educated throughout this process, was something that I took day by day to try to help get to this result. So there was definitely some unknowns. Obviously, you know, the trade request was, you know, something that I did, and, you know, full transparency, I told the front office this as well. Like, that wasn't something that I was doing for just like a leverage point or just to do it or let me call some hoopla. Like, I try to be as intentional as possible. Am I perfect? No, I'm not. Are there some things that, you know, you think about that you maybe want to handle different or do better? Sure, that's any situation. But the most important part is the communication that was very important throughout this process from start to finish. You know, The way it ended was better than it started. So that's what it's all about. And there's a deal in place now that keeps me here that I'm extremely happy about. You know, the front office and the coaching staff is extremely happy about. My teammates are happy about. This fan base is happy about. So that's a win-win when you look at a deal, to be honest. So everybody wins, in my opinion. And, you know, I'm just really looking forward to building continue to build my career here and hopefully leave a lasting legacy as a player, but as a teammate, as a person, and have a chance to win championships and just continue to pour into this community and this fan base, because I do love this place with all my heart. But there's also a business component, and I can never lose sight of that. There was a lot of things that also allowed me to keep perspective. And like I said, my teammates were great with that. My wife, my family, my friends. So you got to try to keep perspective in some of these tough situations. And there were some times where I was like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I was never going to jump to one extreme to the other. You know, it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna be here or I'm not, you know, like I just really prayed every single day that the Lord ordained my steps and continue to speak to me, and I knew I would end up where I was supposed to be. So I'm definitely here and I'm happy about it.
That was the only time in the entire press availability that the trade request was mentioned, and it was Terry mentioning it himself. And he kind of said, like, hey, that was real. That was not just a leverage point like a majority of us thought it was. I still kind of do think it was a leverage point. I don't think that Terry ever believed he was going to get traded. I don't think his agent ever believed that he was going to get traded. And I don't believe that Adam Peters had any intention of ever trading or shopping Terry in any capacity. But he said that very much was real. But that was the only time it was referred to at all during that press availability. His answers are very, very long, as you heard. I mean, that was like a 3-minute answer. So he was very open and transparent with a lot of these things. The general focus, though, Max, was that Terry very much wants to be here. And the general focus from listening to Adam Peters is that they very much wanted Terry to be here. There are not a lot of players on the Commanders football team, Redskins, over the past 20 years that have ever gotten a third contract here. And when I say a third contract, I mean like a real legitimate third contract. There have been some guys, you know, I think Tress Way is on contract number 4, but with all due respect to Tress, he's fantastic at what he does. It's very different negotiating with a punter than it is negotiating with a wide receiver number 1 or someone that is that in the top 10 at their particular position in any capacity. Right. Tress has been there certainly for a number of years, but it's just a very different process to negotiate with a guy like Terry versus a guy like Tress. There just have not been a lot of third contracts. Like even Ryan Kerrigan, who was here for what felt like an eternity, he never got a third contract here. He played the rookie deal out, which was about 4 years, and then he signed a 5-year extension that took him to 2020, and then he did that weird little bit where he played for the Eagles for a season. Remember that? We don't talk about that one a lot. But Ryan Kerrigan, who felt like he was here for forever, never got a third contract here. You know, Trent Williams, I need to look this up to see what Trent's actual extension points were here in Washington, because it feels like with Trent in San Francisco, he's gotten 1,000 contracts just because they constantly repay him, it feels like, every single other year. But if you look at Trent in Washington, you know, he didn't sign a third he played that rookie deal. He played that rookie extension, which again was a 5-year contract. He never got a third contract here. So Terry is the first guy that is really at the top of his position, in a position that is incredibly pertinent with some of these deals, that has gotten a third contract. And that's largely, it felt like when, this is like a little bit of a history here, it felt like when Michael Thomas in New Orleans signed that massive contract all those years ago, NFL teams across the board, because I think Michael Thomas signed like a 5-year, 6-year extension when he had just had that crazy season in New Orleans. When that extension was signed, a majority of teams across the NFL and a majority of players were like, we're not going to jump into 5-year deals when we can get 3-year deals and then re-up. And Terry was a very, obviously, he's kind of like the poster child for that here. He signed a 3-year deal in the Ron Rivera era, understanding that eventually he'd be able to get to re-up. And he kind of played it perfectly. Like, this is a really good deal for Terry. Did he get the $35 million that he allegedly was asking for at the beginning? No, but he got everything that he wanted, or at least everything he said that he wanted. It's just a very unique position to be in, because third contracts in the NFL really are not as frequent as it sometimes seems, especially especially here. I just found that to be really, really interesting, and I'm curious as to how that might have impacted the process. And what I need to do, Max, is kind of look back at the 49ers and see how many third contracts that they negotiated and some of the other places that Adam Peters stopped in. There's just not a lot of big third contracts that are being negotiated across the NFL. But the simple fact is Terry is here, and he is here for a very, very long time. In about an hour, I'm going to tell you exactly how much money he could be making in the year 2025. It'll actually blow your mind. But coming up next, we're going to ESPN. Booger McFarland of ESPN, he's going to jump on with us, get his thoughts on the Commanders and a little bit of college football. Week one starts today in the world of college football. Booger McFarland next. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day sitting in.
Junk's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980, 910 The Fan. If you're listening in Richmond, thank you for doing that. And Monumental Sports Network as well. We're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We'll be joined in about an hour by Mike Locksley, head coach of the Maryland Terrapins. They open this weekend in College Park against Florida Atlantic. So that's coming up in just about an hour. I believe we'll be joined shortly by Ben Standing. I think he's joining us right now on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Ben, good morning. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
I wish Jason was here. He must be coming back from the bathroom because he was going to tell you, you know this team better than we do. You saw the Brian Robinson thing from a mile away. Tell us what was going into your thought process kind of in the offseason and early in camp.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Look, one of my takeaways from last year was obviously the offense was great, but they didn't get big plays out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of the reasons they brought in Debo Samuel, even though he's receiver by trade, he's going to get 3 to 5 touches a game.
Right.
And, you know, when you just look at, like, how do you improve the group? It just, Brian Robinson was just, you know, sort of a singles hitter. Maybe, you know, he only had 5 plays over 20 yards last year, et cetera. But, you know, then they didn't do that much in the offseason. But once I started looking at Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt, once saw some of the other guys step up and just, I don't know. You just listen to what is being said and not being said. You kind of get a sense of the room. And yeah, I was a little bold, I guess, to say to throw it out there like that. But yeah, that's just kind of how I saw it. I just could not shake the feeling that this was going
to
happen.
Ben, how does the team resist the temptation and the urge to overuse Austin Ekeler? Because in that room right now, he's the most proven guy. And we know that he struggled with concussion issues last season. Like, how are they going to manage his touches? How does he fit in? And how do you see this workload being distributed with the pieces that are remaining?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And if my thought would be, for the love of, you know what, take him off kick return.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I know he was effective last year doing it, but you know the risk-reward just doesn't seem right, especially now. If he's going to get, you know, 15 touches in a game, I would just rather them all be out of the backfield at this stage and let, you know, some other guys do there. But you're right. I think that is going to be a question. I wouldn't be surprised if they do lean on him a little bit more at the top here as they let Bill get his feet wet, you know, see what's up with Chris Rodriguez. I think this really does look like a committee. And I know fantasy football players won't want to hear that, but I think at the top it is looking like that. And by the way, to the point of the Brian Robinson thing, you know, Austin Ekeler is their best 3-down back. He's just limited, you know, in terms of like the amount of workload he can have. And that was sort of the other thought. Like, you can't, I don't think they can replace Ekeler, assuming he plays. And Robinson was like, that spot made more sense to find a more burst, some kind of an upgrade. But yeah, I'm with you. Get Ekeler off kick returns and just give him the touches out of the backfield, but don't go crazy.
Yeah, why not let McCaffrey be the kick returner and then you're protecting Ekeler a little bit?
I was surprised that they didn't use McCaffrey more in the return game in practices this year. I don't know if they, you know, based on how they handled the wide receiver room in general this offseason, I guess I'm assuming that they thought he was going to step up more. That's why they didn't get like some, you know, like more legit vets than the 3 guys they just cut. But you're right. I mean, he was helpful there last year in the return game. And right now I don't see his role as a receiver. So I would 100% do that. Put him back there, Jalen Lane, Jeremy McNichols, whatever you need to do, just not Eckler.
Are they going to have all four running backs up then?
Yeah, that's a great question. I kind of feel like the answer is yes, because McNichols is a help on special teams. You know, they only have the five wide receivers right now. So, yeah, I think that's a good exercise. I did a little bit of that before the 53, like which guys would be put on inactive each week, but I haven't done that since the 53. But, yeah, I would kind of feel like they may have all four guys up. Because, look, I mean, even if Bill is not given, you know, RB1 workload, they clearly like the guy, which, and understandably so. So you got to get him in the game. And Chris Rodriguez is the new Brian Robinson in terms of the short yardage stuff. So I do feel like they're going to have all these guys up. Yeah.
All right. Talk about the receiver keeping five. I assume they'll re-sign Ja'Cory Brooks to the practice squad. I also think that I feel like they're going to pick up somebody, right? I don't know who you can pick up. I like Hunter Renfrow, but yeah, he hadn't really done anything in like 3 years. Is there anybody out there that has captured your attention?
No, I just tweeted about this. This is the most uninspiring group of final cuts I can recall. reading other reporters around the league, nobody is shocked by anything. And talking to teams since the cutdown, they're all like, "Yeah, there's nothing really there's nothing good out here." So yeah, I mean, look, there are some receivers you could point to and say this guy could be an upgrade. MVS is out there. He's never been my favorite guy. His hands are a little dicey, but could he be this year's Deami Brown, the speed guy who just runs straight and Jaden will put the ball there? Maybe. I don't know that he's going to be available for Washington, but, you know, there really just isn't a lot of guys out there. I imagine, right, they'll put Ja'Cory Brooks and probably one or two other receivers on the practice squad just in case. But, yeah, I mean, look, hopefully their scouting department is better than me and see some diamonds in the rough out there, but it just feels like an uninspiring group right now.
Ben, do you think that Terry is going to have enough ramp up time with him agreeing to the extension just a couple days ago to get enough practices under his belt where he'll be full speed, full ready to go week one against the Giants in less than 2 weeks now?
Yeah. I mean, anybody that knows me knows I'm not exactly the personal trainer type who would be able to assess these things easily, but I guess my wonder is if we're week one, you know, let's just say he typically plays 80% of the snaps, just for argument's sake. I wonder if it'll dial back a little bit when this team's going to go no huddle, up tempo. You've got to be, you know, conditioning wise, ready to go. I'm sure he's great regular conditioning wise, but football wise, we'll see. Hopefully they've got 11 or so days here to get going. Hopefully they think that's enough. He'll be out there today, or we're expecting him out there today at least. So, you know, look, I think he'll play, and I'm sure he'll be fine. But, you know, maybe they have to dial it back a smidge right off the top.
Ben, are you concerned? We kind of asked our listeners this a couple segments ago. Are you concerned that this roster is the oldest in the league right now?
Man, they have 21 guys, I think, who are going to be 30 this year.
Yeah. Does that concern you?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how it couldn't. I mean, I don't know if there's like an individual guy where I'm like, boy, he's about to fall off a cliff. But history shows that, you know, if there's a group that's going to be susceptible to injuries or steep decline, it's going to be the older guys. So, yeah, I do think it's a concern. I actually think it's a bigger concern when you look at 2026, because they're going to have a lot of holes to fill and they're going to need to bring in new guys. But obviously that's a next year problem. But, yeah, I do think it's concerning. I guess at least for the most part, a lot of these vets, the older guys, are, you know, sort of, some of them are background players. I mean, Zach Ertz, he looked, you know, obviously looked fine last year. Eckler's 30. He looked fine, but the concussions were a thing. You know, so they do have some guys up there. But, yeah, as a whole, I do think it is concerning how you get through a year with that many guys who are, you know, potentially going to have an injury or take a dip.
So against the Giants, and I think the Giants are going to be better this year, you know, not dramatically better, but I think they'll be better, especially on the defensive side. Are you concerned that since Noah Brown was limited, who knows how much he'll go, if at all, in week one? And obviously Terry missed, you know, the majority of camp. And Cake's already asked you if he's going to be able to ramp up enough. Are you concerned that the receivers, I mean, Debo will be good because he's been there since, you know, July, but the receivers just haven't been there, and that chemistry might not be what Jaden needs coming out of the gate in week one against a pretty good defense.
I mean, there certainly could be a bit of a timing issue for sure. I mean, as much as this is my thing with the receiver room, as much as we all talked about Terry for all the obvious reasons, to me, the bigger concern was Noah Brown in that, one, he's dealing with a knee injury now. Seems like he's on pace to play. He looked good warm-ups the other day. But unfortunately, his history shows he's going to get hurt again. And if that happens, I have no idea who would replace him. I know they're trying Jalen Lane out outside more, and that's cool. He's obviously got the speed, but you know he's not built to be an outside receiver. Neither is Debo. Luke McCaffrey was, you know, not productive this summer. So, and that's the whole room. So I do think it's concerning whether it's because, you know, Noah Brown isn't quite ready to go week one, you know, full speed, or, you know, something happens during the season. So, yeah, I think it's a concern week one. And honestly, I'm a nervous Nelly with these things. So I like depth, and they don't have much right now at all at that spot.
Talking to Ben Standing, how much better is this year's offensive line compared to last year's?
I mean, if they're all out there, I think pretty significantly better. You know, we all know that Laramie Tunsil's good at his job, but when you get to watch at practice and just see him, somebody comes off the edge and he just like puts one big paw out there and the guy falls down, it is quite remarkable how easy it looks to him to slow these players down. Now, of course, it's mostly watching practice and, you know, a little bit of preseason that he was in there, but he didn't play at all in the preseason. Never mind.
Right.
But just some practices, the joint practice. So yeah, we'll see what happens in the game. And he's another, you know, older guy for sure. But yeah, he's good. And then I think Connerly improved as the summer went along. You know, the Sam Cosmi is still out. He's going to be out at least four games now. When he returns, that'll be a big upgrade. And I think Brandon Coleman is sort of, to me, the difference maker when it comes to, are they good or is their upside go really north of that? He's big, athletic. He missed a bunch of time in camp because of an injury, but I think he's much better suited at guard. And between Tunsil and Biotish, you know, he's going to have some really good guys around him. So, yeah, I think this line could be significantly better once they're all out there.
I feel pretty good about the secondary.
Are you surprised that Diana's claiming that Noah I is being shopped, or at least gauging interest?
Well, I saw that, and I checked around with some teams. The reaction I got from one was that he's available for the right price, but that price is
pretty
not
high.
A giveaway.
Yeah.
So that kind of sounds like most players. I will note that he played more in the final preseason game than I imagined. Mm-hmm. There were 12 defenders that played at least 30 snaps in that finale. Only three made the team, the two rookie linebackers and Noah Igbinoghene. So, usually that's a bit of a red flag if a guy's playing that much, but they only kept five corners. He's obviously been a good player. So, you know, for the right price, I guess anybody is available, but I don't know what they would do if they were to trade him because, again, they only have five corners right now.
How's Gabe been in practice? Is he nailing them in practice and just, you know, had a couple unfortunate ones in the preseason? Or what's that been like?
I think he's been fairly reliable from 45 in. You know, I think the misses that I'm thinking of are largely been from distance. That was his issue with the Colts. He was only basically a 50% field goal kicker from 50-plus with Indianapolis. So it's a little concerning, but I don't think it's the biggest deal. You know, he's an upgrade over what they had a year ago simply because of the strength of his leg. They actually can attempt longer kicks now than last year. It's not that Cliff Kingsbury just wanted to go for fourth down all the time or Dan Quinn. It's just that they also didn't have an option to kick deep ones even if they wanted to. So, you know, I think we're all wondering, kicker such a finicky situation. These guys can, you know, be great or they can go off the rails quick. I'm not too concerned right now, but certainly something to watch, especially anything from 50 plus.
Well, this team's got to stop the run because they couldn't do it last year. And I know they got a bunch of new guys on the defensive line, especially in the backups. I think five, maybe six guys are new, but can they stop the run? That's the key with these guys. Can Kinlaw step it up and earn his money?
Force punts. We got to force punts.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. You know, this is one of the unfortunate things when not only is preseason not typically a great barometer of what's to come, but then on top of it, they didn't even play their guys. So we didn't see too much. I know they're happy with the size they have now with adding Kinlaw and Dedrick Wise. They kept Eddie Goldman. Deron Payne's already a big guy they had. So I think they're pleased with that. I think they like their depth better than a year ago, and I would concur. Kinlaw has looked really fun this summer. You've heard the reports about Deron Payne stepping up. I think Dorrance Armstrong had a great camp. He might have been the best defender all summer, in my view. So does that help? And I know it's going to help Bobby Wagner having those guys up front eat up blockers and make it a little bit clearer for him to see where the ball carrier goes. And we know his instincts are, among the best in the league. So I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say they're going to improve. Anything, they have to improve off of being 30th. Mm-hmm. I think that's easy to say. Are they good enough to say get to 15th? I don't know. We'll have to watch and see. But yeah. I'm not trying to punt it. It's just how do we know for sure?
Yeah.
Ben, I want you two things sort of. Handicap the NFC East. How much have they closed the gap, if any, with the Eagles? And then, dare we ask you to kind of, in your mind, give us a season prediction? Like, have you gone through the schedule and kind of cranked out a win-loss number?
I have done those types of exercises and have hated doing it because, look, I mean, I live in the real world. Last year was a great year. No, full stop, fun year. Jaden's fantastic. His presence gives you a chance to win. But, how many times are they going to win five straight games? They're going to win five straight games that came down to the last play from scrimmage. The quarterbacks they faced last year were pretty abysmal. And this year, much, much tougher schedule. You figure some of the breaks won't go their way. But I also think the roster has improved. Again, Jaden's fantastic. If Terry is ready to go, then the offense, shouldn't miss a beat. So, I don't know. I know the over-under is like 9.5. I'm inclined to say 10 just because I don't want to get yelled at by people. But I honestly don't like sit here and think, boy, this team is definitively going to be a double-digit win team. I think they have a great shot. I think they, I think they can compete with the Eagles, and we'll see where Philly's at after losing some pieces. I think the Giants will be much improved. Dallas, they have some top talent, but I don't know what to make of them overall. So, I think Washington can be right there. In the NFC's kind of down this year in general, beyond Philly, just for a couple of reasons around the league. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like I said, it's hard for me to look at last year and just say it's easy to replicate when so much is going to be different. But, again, this is why having Jaden Daniels is so good, because as long as he's there, it is not unrealistic to think you can be a contender.
Yeah,
I agree with that 100%. 100%. What's the best case scenario for the Micah situation? I mean, obviously for us, it's just miss games and don't play. But how do you see that playing out in Dallas?
Jerry does this all the time, and eventually these guys sign deals. In talking to some people who are familiar with the talks, they're like, I don't see it happening, a deal getting done unless Jerry completely reversed his course instead of the way he's been acting, where he's like, hey, we had a deal, on the back of a napkin, whatever, and now they're claiming we don't. I think he's going to have to get over that if he wants Micah out on the field. Unfortunately, there's no chance in hell he's trading Micah here, even though Dan Quinn would surely love to do that. I think Micah would probably love to play for Dan Quinn again. Logically, just sort of with the Terry thing, I don't know how they don't get this done, even if there's been a lot of drama to this point. But yeah, right now that situation feels way more tense than the Terry's one ever did.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Especially when you saw that body language on the sideline. Oh my God, that was bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Really bad. All right. Tell people how they could get your work now.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I'm over on Substack. It's a great site, lastmanstanding.substack.com. I've been trying to crank out as much as I can. Obviously, you mentioned the B-Rob thing, a couple other good stuff, good nuggets as well along the way. So, yeah, please check it out. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Appreciate the time.
See you, bro.
All right. Ben Standing, everybody. He's been covering this team for a long time. Does a great job. He was all over the B-Rob before any of us saw it.
We were
like, what? Yep. Come on. They're not getting rid of him.
I said no chance.
He's their one proven guy.
He was correct.
They got rid of him.
Yep. Coming up next.
Gave him away.
We're going to have to visit our bet book to take a look at some old bets because there is a celebrity wedding in the offing.
Ooh.
Get into that next here on the Junkies.
I feel like Jeff was a little bit in shock earlier, and now he's processed everything. Jeffrey, Terry McLaurin, under contract. You've been freaked out. How much better you feel?
Yo, I don't have to take blood pressure medicine no more because that put me on blood pressure medicine. Look, I know. I knew it was going to get done, but we have to understand the reality of the business sometimes. We didn't see players, you know, they don't come to a deal, they leave. So I was a little nervous. And
you were a lot nervous, dog.
Yeah, I was about to say, for Mr. Optimistic over here, a little nervous is big on a big scale.
Yeah, you were a lot nervous, yes. Mr. Optimistic.
Yes, I was getting
you
into
told
it
us,
people.
I'm freaked out. I'm going to be freaked out every day until it's done.
And yep. I have, and I'm freaked out right now that we got it. We got Terry back. You see what we did with what, three plays? Now we have we have our guy back. And in the up, I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm excited. I'm just happy it got done. And I think we can just finally talk about football now. Like, no more contracts.
B-Rob's gone. They made their decision. Terry's back. All football all the time. Landini.
And we should talk about all the time football because that's the only thing we can control. We can't control other stuff.
Landini, how fired up are you, dude?
I'm pumped. I hoped this would get done. I was getting a little nervous here in the last couple of days, frankly, but I'm glad it finally happened. It just made too much sense for them to, to just pay him for it not to happen. I'm so glad. I'm so glad this is over and we got Terry is back, and they can get on with annihilating the Giants week one.
Damn right.
I'm talking about landfill.
I got this tweet from Dave, Disco Dave 89. He says, huge win for Eastern Motors. all right. If you're on, I'm coming to the phones now. 800-636-1067.
They say you'll drive your credit. I guess you got great credit today.
Mark's in Landover Hills. Mark, you fired up. Terry is back, dude.
Fellas, I couldn't be any happier because when I called you originally, and Jeff can tell you this, I was going to take up for my man B. Mitch and my man JP about the nattering nabobs of negativity who kept riding and dogging our man Terry, but it's all over with. And a couple more things, fellas, if I can.
You can.
Guys,
go.
Let me just say this. This today's show, B. Mitch, even you, JP, your conduct and the way you've been handling this whole situation has been exemplary. And the man who played in the NFL on this show, his conduct, has, if it's at all possible, has been better than exemplary. And I'm going to leave it right there because I'm going to throw this out there for my man Doc and Little because the brutality is about to begin in less than 2 weeks. So, you guys have been talking music, and I know my man Jeff and B. Mitch love music, and I'm going to tell you, now the music I'm hearing is nothing but good, and that one song that makes me think of this every year goes like this. Because guess what? We're getting ready to throw down, and the prospects are looking good.
All right, baby.
Thanks, brother.
There you go. Appreciate you, man.
Enjoy yourself and have a nice day. And let's talk it up because we've got a chance and the synergy is back.
All right, man. Thanks, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Better than exemplary for old Brian Mitchell. Let's keep it moving here. Chris is in Silver Spring. Chris, Terry is back.
He's back. He is back indeed. And listen, in July when we requested the trade, they were trying to troll me and say, he's going to get traded. He's going to go. I didn't bother one single bit. I knew it was leverage on his side. He is back, and you said it best, JP. He deserves it. He is the most loyal player on the Commanders. He is our boy. He is back. And, fellas, buckle up. We're going all the way. I feel it. We're going all the way this year. Last year was amazing. This year will be out. Oh, it's going to be so amazing. Even more than last season. I'm ready for it. I know you guys are. Oh, this is so awesome. Let's go.
Love it, man. Good call. Thanks, Chris.
Chris almost had me. So, the chat, man.
getting fired up over here.
Yeah, man. Our guy Jonesy is on the line. Jonesy, what's up?
What's going on, JP?
What up, brother?
Hey, Mitch. How you feeling? How you feeling, man?
Good.
Listen, man, I just got rid of my anxiety sports doctor, man. Trey Sine, we good to go now. I told, hey, I'm back on Earth, and we ready to roll, baby. Let's go beat the New York Giants, because this schedule is real, and it looks brutal. But now with Trey, I feel a little more comfortable about going into this thing. How y'all think? What y'all think about that?
I'm comfortable. I felt it made too much sense for them to get this deal done, and it got done.
Yes, sir.
And now, listen, all I'm focusing on now, getting to Louisiana and getting back for the 7th. That's what I'm focusing on.
Yes, sir.
They're going to open our new stadium, then we're going to come here and destroy the Giants right there at Northwest Stadium.
Indeed. I'm going to be looking for some Chilean sea bass, D-Mitch.
Oh, man.
Thanks for the call, Jonesy. Appreciate you, man. All right. Eric is in Knoxville. We're all over the place today. What's up, Eric?
Terry. Come on. I'm fired up. I'm excited to see how the guaranteed money is going to be. But that's huge, man. We needed that. One thing I want to point out, you know, it's completely different, the front office, compared to, I don't want to say his name, the last owner. But you got closed doors. You got Scheffler saying 2 hours ago, that they aren't even close to a deal. So, I mean, I just got full trust in AP. And it's exciting, man. I'm excited.
Appreciate you, man. Landfill, this would actually be really funny. The don't we have Scheffler audio saying they're not close?
That was just last week, wasn't it?
I think it was this morning.
Really?
Yeah. Scheffler was on Get Up. This is Adam Scheffler this morning. On the McLaurin situation.
And the Commanders, are they getting anywhere?
No, not so far, Greeny. And we are at August 25th. You'd have to think we are now at a point where there has to be urgency, whether it's Terry McLaurin or Trey Hendrickson or Micah Parsons. But there doesn't seem to be progress in any of these cases right now. This would figure to be another important week with the regular season opening next week. But these two sides have been apart all offseason. They continue to be apart on the value of the contract. And we'll see if it's late August that makes a difference and means anything in their talks. But so far, not great.
Optimal word, urgency. And he said that what time this morning? And we just said what he said an hour ago, something like that. So a matter of 4 hours, 5 hours, things change. Some days, you know, Mondays aren't blue. They're Dude, green.
Things can change always.
$30 million signing bonus, that's a green Monday right there.
That's a good day.
Hell yeah.
I also think, like, there were so many people that wanted to tell you the sky was falling throughout this process, and I can't stress enough, like, some of the younger people we work with, like, yeah. Even, like, the ups and downs of training camp, like, you can't get too caught up in everything that happens, and you got to try to keep in mind the totality of things.
Yeah.
And that's, like, I think that's life, too, right? Like, you don't want to react too much, too fast to any one singular event and try to keep the big picture in place.
Every time something happened, I kept saying it's negotiating. It's negotiating. And I know people go, Jeff always said, oh, man, you played it. Well, that's the part of why I'm telling you, chill out a little bit. Been through stuff like that. And that's the educational aspect. Let people understand where people say things. In every negotiating we see now, they come out, they say whatever, then the player say he wants to trade, then a deal gets done. That happens.
We're going to let you guys continue on these phones. Ed is in Potomac. What's up, Ed?
Hey, what's going on? All right, I want y'all to do something for me before I get to my next point. Close your eyes and remember that four-play drive that ended in less than 2 minutes. The high-octane offense where Jaden ended that play with a run, and now he's got his main receiver back. If you thought that drive was too fast for you without Terry, now imagine it with Terry. This team, remember that caller y'all had that said he's going to need to go change the scoreboard? Don't even do it. Because with Terry back now, I don't think it's a scoreboard that's going to be able to keep up with this offense. You may break it. Technology can't keep up with this fast offense, okay? And then my second thing is I called in last week, and I remember telling y'all that, look, I work in media, there's contract, 2-3-year deals, whatever. Our money's not nowhere near as much as, you know, football players. But let's remember, don't we treat ourselves the same way? You know how much you're worth, and you're going to ask for it. And if somebody don't want to give it to you, you're going to go somewhere else or look elsewhere for it. So we understand a little bit working in media. That's how contracts work. You know your dollar amount. Mm-hmm. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, man. Good call there. Yeah, dude. The contracts are a real part of our lives.
Hell yeah.
Ryan is in Connecticut. Ryan, Terry signed a 3-year contract extension. The nightmare is over.
The nightmare is over, and it comes in perfect timing. As you said, I'm from Connecticut, so I'm in giant jet country here, and everyone's been kind of trolling me over the past couple weeks about this Terry situation. You know, as I get older, I sometimes show a little bit of resentment towards players that are asking for more money, although I know it is the business side. But with Terry's case, it's like we knew it was going to happen. I was just surprised it took so long. We're under a new front office, and we're not used to things being done the right way. Usually we'd cave in and just do whatever they wanted. But it's an unbelievable feeling to see, you know, Terry basically devoted his career to saying, I want to be part of the solution in Washington rather than leave and take the easy road out. So I couldn't be happier for a guy that was the face of our franchise when we truly did not deserve him when we had him through those times. The owner, the GMs, the coaches, the offense, the rebranding, he's been there for it all. There isn't a guy in the league that deserves the contract that he got more than Terry. Some guys get paid off stats and winning, and to me, like, we're just missing the winning part. He has done everything and more, and it's an athlete that everyone on their team should pray that they could have one day on their team. I couldn't be happier for the team, and I think he gets in there Wednesday, talks to the team, and it's wheels up, man. People are ready to go.
Thank you, buddy. Great call.
I think the ownership didn't deserve him. We deserved him.
Sure.
Agreed.
Thanks,
there
Ryan.
There we go, yeah.
You know who I'm so excited for? I have to go. I'm going to go over to Channel 4 this afternoon. Un-Yang is going to be so excited, dude.
She won't be able to. She'll be bouncing off the walls, man.
I can't wait.
She's going to be excited, dog.
I can't wait to see Un. Because she was like, Jeff, stressing. People have been stressing.
Don't stress.
But we're trying to tell them. But, you know, people hear what they want. Now you hear the news. Terry McLaurin signed a 3-year contract extension worth almost $100 million. Terry ain't going nowhere. Neither are we. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
The terms came out on the Terry McLaurin contract. We had been waiting very, very patiently for these, and this is what we now know, Danny. Effectively, the 3-year, $96 million, which we knew was fluffed up a bit and wasn't exactly what this is going to end up being, is a fancy way of saying, when you really strip everything down, Terry McLaurin signed a 1-year extension. Reworked this deal for this year, this season. So he's under contract in 25 already, and now he's got a different amount of money he's going to be paid this year. But then they added 1 year, 2026, next season, with guarantees. And after that, there is no guaranteed money. So here's the good news for the player and the agent, right? Terry McLaurin got a decent contract. $29 million APY, average per year, makes him top 10 in the National Football League. $44 million in guaranteed money, tied with Chris Godwin, top 10 in the National Football League. When you consider his age, he actually did pretty well. This is it's not much of a precedent for a guy at that position that's about to be 30 to get that kind of money. So good for Terry McLaurin. I'm thrilled for him. He's earned every single penny. I wanted him to be taken care of. He is the lieutenant commander. He's the guy that everybody has fallen in love with in this fan base over the years. Set that aside for a second. In terms of the game of chicken and the stare down, Brandon Sosna, who negotiated this deal for the Commanders, and the general manager Adam Peters, who's dug his heels in, completely crushed in this stare down. When you actually look at the numbers and you see that McLaurin has zero guaranteed money after 2026, it means if the team wants to get out of the contract after the 26th season, they can do that. They could only have to pay a $6 million penalty to cut him post June 1st going into 2027. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Terry McLaurin.
But they could.
Exactly. Terry McLaurin's probably going to go out. He's going to be good. He's going to be productive. And they're going to want to keep him around. And by the way, if he keeps performing, if he's catching 70-plus balls for 1050 and 6-7 touchdowns, he'll be here year after year after year. But this is basically a one-year contract extension tacked on to a raise this season for McLaurin. $44 million in guaranteed is an important number here. But instead of 4 years at 120 or so million, really what this is a two-year deal for a little under $50 million for Terry McLaurin. And the team has the flexibility to move on if they want to after just two seasons. This is pretty amazing.
So it leads to a lot of questions. And you wonder, when could this have been signed? And for both parties, you know what I mean? Not blaming anybody in particular. Could this have been done 2 months ago, 3 months ago? Could this have been done, you know, at any point during the timeline where it seems pretty favorable to the team as far as I can read that, right? So was this just much ado about very little? Was it much, like, what I guess, how much better did McLaurin and his agent do with this entire saga? I don't know the answer to that.
Maybe the guarantees came up several mil, and the APY went from what they were originally, we told, looking at around 25 mil, and it got to 29 mil.
Totally. And it was also one of them from the team's perspective. This is all it took. Why didn't you do this earlier? I mean, again, the questions are things that we'll probably never really have a feel for or know. But I will say, just again, with this data point, the number that the agent, Buddy Baker, gets to put up there is if you go to SpotTrack and you sort by average salary of AAV of receivers, there's Terry McLaurin right behind Garrett Wilson, right behind DK Metcalf, ahead of AJ Brown. That's what he gets to tout, and that's what was the 3-96. That's what that was all about. Any digging tells you that's fantasy land, that's fictional. It's not that. It's more kind of what you're talking about. The nuts and bolts of it, the team doesn't have to take a victory lap. They got the contract that they want. So correct. Their victory lap will be, we don't know you diddly or squat, and we have a tiny dead cap hit if we feel like moving on.
By the way, they handled it beautifully. They got a good contract. Here's what I mean by this. They handled the post-agreement part of this beautifully. You let the agent throw out the big numbers. Everybody reacts and says, oh my gosh, the team caved. Terry got paid, you know, all of these things. And you don't have to say a word. You're allowed to just be classy and high road this thing. Quite literally, let the agent have his day. I reached out to somebody with the team at one point, and I'm like, hey, what's the guaranteed money? Like, what's the deal here? Just trying to figure out the actual side of this that the team would put out there. And they said, oh, we're just, you know, we're sitting back here. This, you know, talk to the agent, the player, like, this is their day kind of thing. Very classy. It's a nice way to do it. But the numbers come out because we got them, and it's very obvious here that it's basically a two-year deal for Terry McLaurin at this point. Now, all that most fans care about, understandably, is that the extension is done, that he'll be on the field against the Giants, and that if he performs, there's a bunch of incentives in this over many years to come, that he can continue to force their hand to keep him on the roster and maybe rework another deal into his mid-30s if he really bucks the trend of wide receiver performance at his age. But from a strictly negotiation standpoint, Sosna, who handles it for the team, and Peters were clinical. Now, I still think there's a conversation to be had. There's a debate to be had over, did it have to be this way?
Should you have been?
Yeah. Should they have done it this way? Like, okay, you guys didn't necessarily take care of him in some loud way over many years. Could you have? Would it have been that different, right? But if the point is just figuring out the contract, which we now have, and then working back from that, they couldn't have gotten a more team-friendly contract with a player that means as much to them as a wide receiver one. And the last point I'll make is, I think 2027 is really significant here. Because there's no guaranteed money starting in 27, which would be the third football season from now, I think it tells you a lot about their plans with Jaden Daniels and the rest of the roster. If you look at their 2027 roster, Javon Kinlaw, under contract with some guaranteed money, and Sam Cosmi, who was also extended recently, under contract with some guaranteed money. Other than that, I think John Bates, final year of a $7 million per year deal. It's just rookie contracts. There's nobody that they're allocating cash to that far down the road. And by getting McLaurin's guarantees off the books by then as well, I think it tells you that that's when the Jaden extension is going to kick in. that first offseason, as soon as they're able to, you'll rip up the rest of Daniel's deal. You're not going to worry about the fifth-year extension, and you will do the Justin Herbert, Josh Allen thing, where the second you can, you give him, I mean, my God, at that point, $300 million or whatever that looks like.
Yeah, 75, 80 a year, something like that.
And that excites me, that they seemingly are planning for having their books wide open in 2027 to immediately start the Daniels extension. Because we've been saying, well, if you pay McLaurin more money and you guarantee him more money and it goes into 27 or even 28 with a little bit of money, who cares? That the Daniels money doesn't have to kick in then yet because you can go to the end of the five-year deal with the extension. But what if you tear the last couple of years of that up as soon as you're allowed to renegotiate after three and pay him then? That's good business. Ask Jerry Jones. The faster you do this, especially in the quarterback market, every time a guy gets paid, it resets and gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the better. And I think this was a window into what they're thinking.
Yeah, so you can increase that fourth year or that fifth year from what you normally would get and then maybe pay a little bit less as you go, just in terms of the total money, whatever. I mean, think about buying out arbitration years for young players, or aka what the Braves do. Every time they have a young prospect that comes up, they somehow sign him to like a 10-year deal for a third of market value just because you're getting the guy richer a little bit quicker in those early years. But yeah, I mean, as you look ahead, I mean, I think that discussion is a great sports discussion. Just going back to your first point about, should they have done this? Was this the right thing to do? For folks that, you know, you're rooting for the jersey, you're rooting for the team, long after this group of players is gone, 10 years from now, you'll be rooting for a totally new crop. You go, well, yeah, that makes perfect sense, because you're going to have to, if Terry's 100% the commander tag, Luvu's like 84%, so you got to pay him a little bit more. You got to pay Sanders a little bit more. You probably have to pay Tunsil a premium because he plays at a premium spot. And if this guy, this guy, this guy, and then you don't want to set that precedent. The other side of that is, and this is a point you've made very well, I would say, over these several months and months and months and months that we've been doing this, is you don't have to break glass for anybody else. You do it for this guy because of what he's been through and what he means and you know, how right he is. So who knows where the truth lies? And I think that's going to be fun for folks that want to have that conversation. But it is interesting and it is instructive to sort of see how they do this, right? Where Adam Peters mentioned this at his press conference. Hopefully we're doing a lot of these, because what that means, not having prolonged negotiations that govern everybody's news cycle for 24/7 for 7 months, but it means you've got good players that you want to keep. That's the idea. True. And we've got their blueprint now.
I think for me, I have two takeaways. The first is, if you're Sosna who negotiated this thing, or you're Peters who held firm, again, you could not have done anything more team friendly or favorable. And I think just strictly financially, they crushed it, right? But the second part is still relevant and is still an interesting talking point, which is, I heard from one prominent NFL agent today who said both, essentially, the team pummeled the agent, to paraphrase, but then also, you know, and we know why. It's not like Buddy Baker was just incompetent. There was no leverage on the player side. There was tons of leverage on the team side. We had that all along. We get that. But the other thing that this agent said was, I think there's going to be a lot of agents and players around the league that look at this and wonder, wow, if this is what Terry McLaurin got from them after the year he had last year, are they going to take care of anybody in a big, substantial way, or is it just going to be business and by the numbers? Because this is fairly business by the numbers math here. This is not a Terry's our guy, we love him, so we're going to keep him around here forever. They gave him more money this year, $44 million guaranteed. He and his new wife are going to be just fine. They did very well at his age. But they did a deal to be able to get out of this thing in a couple of years. And if that's what they want to do and he's not performing, that's what they'll be able to do. And frankly, the fact that there's no guaranteed money after next football season is shocking to me.